I'd like to share four stories with you this morning. And the purpose of these four stories is just to help us think about the best way for us to spend our time while we're living here on this earth. So four stories. First story is about three business partners. And if you've ever owned your own business, you'll especially appreciate this story. But there was three business partners in a very well-established industry. And they had what seemed like a successful business. But just like any other business, you know, it had its ups and its downs. And they'd come through a time where things had not gone real well. And this was followed by a period in time when things were going incredibly well for this business. So well, in fact, that the employees were just astonished. They were amazed at how well the business was. But then one day, suddenly, something very, very strange happened with these three business owners. Right at the peak of their business, when things were going astonishingly well, not one of them, not two of them, but all three of them left the business, just walked away from it. And as you hear this story, you probably think, well, why? Why would they just abandon their business when it was going so well? And the answer is they found something better. They found something even better, a better opportunity than this business. And we can read about this story actually in Luke, the fifth chapter, if you want to turn your Bibles there. You've heard this story before. These three business partners were Simon, James, and John. Okay, Luke, the fifth chapter, we know they had a fishing business. And let's just read here in Luke, the fifth chapter. And I'm going to start in the fourth verse. Luke, the fifth chapter, the fourth verse. Jesus is talking here. It says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And so business was great for these three partners. Verse 9, we go on to read. It says, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish at which they had taken. This seems like this was maybe more than they'd ever taken before. They were astonished at it. Things were going well. But then we get to verse 11. This is where we read what they did after this. It says, so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. And I take this to mean they left the fishing business. If you go on to read in Luke, they just quit. They forsook all and followed Jesus. Later, Peter would say that same thing to Jesus. In Luke, the 19th chapter, they were talking about a little different topic. But Peter said, Lord, we left all to follow you. And I think they really did. The indication is they just left their boats right there and they went and followed Jesus. Because Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And why'd they do that? Well, they found something better than this business. They found a real treasure in life. And they saw how valuable and how precious it was to follow after Jesus. So valuable that they forsook all. They left everything. And this is good news for us today, because this is the same Jesus that you and I serve today. And we can place the same valuation on that, that it's worth everything we have to follow after Jesus. And so if you have Jesus today, that's the good news. You've really got something valuable there. I don't know what the bank accounts of anybody here look like. But I do know this, if you've got Jesus, You have treasure beyond this world. You have treasure beyond measure. You, in spiritual terms, you are a millionaire. You are wealthy spiritually if you have Jesus. That's what the apostles realized when they saw Jesus. They realized that they'd found the real treasure in life. So that's the first story. Let me tell you a second story. This one's in Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus was the original teller of this story. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's the story right there. That's it. It's one of the shortest parables we have that Jesus ever told. Very brief. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Another parable right before that, also very short. But the point is this, it's placing a valuation on the kingdom of God. And it's saying the kingdom of God is worth everything you have. Everything you have. That's what it's worth. One time I went to purchase a car, and I drove the car, and I talked to the sales associate about the car, and we got to the point where now it was time to discuss the price, which is always, if you're like me, it's always kind of an uncomfortable thing. Now we've got to talk about the price. So we sat down at his table there, and I brought up the topic of, well, what's this vehicle worth? And he had a little piece of notepad paper, and he said, well, you just write down a number on this piece of paper, what you'd be willing to pay for this vehicle. And he slid the paper across the table to me. And I don't remember even what I wrote or what happened from there, but it made me, I thought about this as I thought about the kingdom. What would we value the kingdom at if somebody said, well, what, write down the value of the kingdom. Well, Jesus tells us right here, we wouldn't put a number. We'd put a word. We'd put everything. It's worth everything you have to seek after the kingdom. That's the point of this parable here. It's a real simple parable, a real simple point. It's worth everything you have. And this is good news for us. And if you've been a part of the kingdom for a while, I think it's easy to lose sight of this, that how valuable this really is. We have something of tremendous value if you have the Lord and if you're part of the kingdom. So that's the second story. Here's the third story. We find this in Philippians, the third chapter. And this one, you might call it an autobiography. I don't know if anybody here likes to read autobiographies, but this one, this story is, it's an autobiography. And I'll just read an excerpt from this here. Philippians, the third chapter. I'm going to just read verses 5 and 6 here. This is Paul. He's kind of telling a story about himself. That's the story here. Paul's telling the Philippians about himself. Philippians, the third chapter, the fifth verse. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. So he's telling a bit about himself here. And these, they might not mean a lot to us, but these seem to mean a lot to Paul. He starts by saying, I was circumcised the eighth day. And so what he's saying there, he says, I was a Jew from birth. This was an important thing to the Jews. And not only was he a Jew, but he says, circumcised the eighth day. So in other words, he's saying, I have followed the law to a T from the day I was born. I was circumcised the day that the Jews were told to be circumcised. He said, so from birth, I've been a Jew. I've been one of God's chosen people. And not only that, he says, tribe of Benjamin. He can trace back his heritage all the way to the beginning of Israel. He says, I'm a tribe of Benjamin. And then he goes on to say, and I was a Pharisee. This was the strictest and most conservative sect of the Jews. And they seemed to be people who were looked up to. And so Paul was saying, this is who I used to be. I was all these things. In verse 7, he says, but I gave them all up. I gave them all up because of Jesus. And you might think, well, what is he, how does he feel about that? Does he feel disappointed? Does he feel like, boy, I wish I could have those back? Is he telling him this because he regrets that he gave up all these things? No, he doesn't regret that at all. He's saying, I gave up all these things on the account of Christ. And so let's read it, continuing here in verse 8. He says, yet indeed I count all things a loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. So all these things that at one time were valuable to him, being a Jew, being a Pharisee, what's he think about him? He says, I count these are rubbish. Not only those things, what other things does he count as rubbish? Everything. He says, I count all things as rubbish. And that's not a word we use, or at least that I use a lot, rubbish. I don't know, probably other translation. I'm reading from the New King James. We'd say trash today, garbage. That's what we'd say. I count all things as garbage compared to Christ. That's the valuation. And Paul is saying, here's the extreme. I mean, you've got everything else. You've got Christ. Compared to Christ, everything is garbage. In some translations, the King James, 1611 King James, it says dung. Okay, that's the extreme between Christ and everything else, Paul says. It just goes, Paul's trying to emphasize here, this is how valuable the kingdom is. This is how valuable knowing Christ is. And so let's put this in our terms today. Let's think about the things in our life. And so I brought some things that, you know, typically I thought about what are things that we value in this life? Because I've got things that I value, and I brought some with me. Okay, so let me just show you a few things. I brought my keys with me, and this goes to our automobile that sits out in the parking lot. As far as physical possessions, it's one of probably our most valuable ones in terms of money. Very useful to us. It helps us get places quickly. Okay. I've also brought my mobile phone with me. I place a lot of value on this. Very useful to me. I brought my wallet with me. I would hate to lose this. You know, there's a lot of, there's even some money in it, which is, it's not always the case for me. Some credit cards. So this is something I value. I brought a watch with me. This is a present that I got for Father's Day, I think, 2 years ago. And it does all kinds of things. Tracks how many steps I take. And you can check the weather. Look like Paul's got one kind of like it. You know, just amazing. These are valuable things to me. But let's just think about these things in terms of what Paul is saying here in Philippians. He says he counts everything as rubbish compared to Christ. And so what? And I even brought a visual aid here. I brought a trash can. A rubbish can, Paul might call it. Okay? What would you think if I just took all these things I showed you, my wallet, my keys, my phone, and I just threw them in this trash can here? It'd be odd, right? It'd be an odd thing to do. But that's what Paul's saying. Compared to, not that we should throw these things away, but he's just trying to make a comparison here to show how excellent knowing Christ is. Everything else is garbage. It really is compared to knowing Christ. All things are rubbish compared to gaining Christ. That's what Paul's saying here. Let me just read this passage again. He says, yet indeed I count all things a loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through Christ, through faith in Christ. So that's our third story. It's the autobiography of Paul, and he talks about how everything is trash compared to Christ. And so you might be thinking, well, why? What's the point of all these stories here? What are we getting at? Let me share the fourth story with you here. Well, maybe before we go on to that, maybe just a bit more on the things that we value here in this life compared to Christ. Because one of the things that comes up when this topic comes up is maybe the idea of family. What about family? Is Christ even more valuable than our family? And let me turn to one passage that helps us maybe to understand, well, where does family come in relation to Christ? Matthew, the 10th chapter, if you want to turn there. And I think this is a good question because family is important. The Lord has instituted the family. But where is it in relation to knowing Christ? Matthew 10 and 37, Jesus speaking. He says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And I'll just stop there. I think it's really clear that even family, compared to knowing Christ, there's just no comparison. As important as the family is, as much as we love our families, Christ is even more valuable than that. And I think it is an important point because family ought to be important. But when we try to put family in the place of God and try to make them more important than God, then it's really a disservice to the family. It really is. Because the family can't do things that God can do. It just can't. And you'll be disappointed. And that's the way it is with anything. If you try to put anything in the place of God, you'll be disappointed. And I think it puts unnecessary strain upon that thing or that whatever it is. And it's just not, particularly the family. If you put the family in the place of God and try to make it an idol, it's just not fair to the family. And I think it puts unnecessary strain on the family. So, ideally, these things go together. They work together, the idea of family and seeking after the kingdom. But even family is not as valuable as knowing the Lord Jesus. But let's look at this fourth story here. The fourth story is in Matthew, the 13th chapter. And this gets to the point of, well, why are we talking about these things? Because Matthew, the 13th chapter, I've thought about this passage a lot in the last several years, really. Because Jesus, and this was from the reading today. We don't need to read it again. You're probably familiar with it. Remember, there's four. The seed thrown out, and it falls on four types of ground. Okay, it's scattered in four different types of ground. There's the good soil, the path, the thorns, stony ground. That was the other one. There's the four grounds. The one that interests me most is the thorny ground. Because I think this is the challenge for the modern day Christian. I see this happening. Jesus, he predicted this is the way it happens, and we see it happening today. The thorny ground, we read what it is in verse 22. Matthew 13, chapter verse 22. "Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." I've thought about this a lot. I've probably mentioned this in more than one lesson just over the last couple of years. I just think about it a lot because I can't go a day without seeing it. I really can't. Where the cares of this world are choking out the word. I see it in other people. I feel the pull in my life, and I'm certain you do too. You feel the pull of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. There are so many things to distract us today. So many, as Jesus predicted, the cares of this world. Boy, it's easy to get distracted. whether it's through entertainment or what's happening in the world, some of the political things we see happening. There's just so many things to distract us. And Jesus said that's going to happen to some people. They're going to hear the word and they're going to say, yeah, let's follow after the Lord. And then they're going to get distracted. That's the thorns. And there's plenty of thorns to distract us today. And so why are we talking about these, the value of the kingdom? It's not new to us, right? I think we've all, probably most of us have heard these passages about the kingdom is the most valuable thing. But this is the challenge we have today. The challenge is all these cares of the world. So I'm just here to remind you today, there's nothing more valuable than the kingdom. And I think as we progress through life, you know, the Lord helps us with this just as we experience things. We often see the insignificance of things as we look back on them. I don't know if you're like that. As you look back on your life and you think about how you spent your time, you know, when you were younger, when you did other things, and you think, boy, that was really a waste of time. I don't know if you're like that. I can see it just through every stage of my life. Going back to the earliest points in my life where one of the things that was really important to me when I was really little was cartoons. I loved cartoons. You know, it was just, it's particularly Saturday mornings when I was growing up. That's when you could watch them. Anymore, I think you can watch them anytime now, but that's when they were on when I was growing up, Saturday mornings. And so I'd get up early. I remember even going, it was still dark out, and I'd go wake my dad up, probably to his dismay, and say, hey, Dad, what time is it? This is before I could probably tell time. Are the cartoons on? Is it okay if I get up? It was just super important to me, you know. But you look back on it, you think, well, what? That wasn't a very valuable use of time. And this is part of maturing, I suppose. But there's just all kinds of stages in life. You know, next, it was video games. They was really important to me. I just spent a tremendous amount of time playing video games. Boy, I wish I could have that time back now. You know, but you just wasted it. And then it was, you wanted to have a good car. That was really important to me for some reason that I have a nice car and that people think that I have a nice car. I don't care beans about that now. You know, and if you saw my car, you'd know I don't care about that type of car. But this is, you know, as you look back on life, you see these things and you think about, boy, that was really a waste of time. And it makes me wonder, what am I doing right now that 15 years from now I'm going to think, what a waste. Why didn't I spend that on things of the kingdom? Things that are really valuable. Or what about I've started to wonder, what about in eternity as I look back on my life? Am I going to think, what was I doing? Why was I wasting my time? And when we see it from God's perspective, really, I was just playing in the trash. That's really what a lot of these things, that these cares of the world, they're just trash. And every Tuesday at our house, we roll a big trash can out to the corner, and they pick it up. And it makes me think, there's probably things in my life that there's trash that needs to be taken out. Because there's just nothing. If we're not spending our time in the kingdom, it's really not very valuable at all. It's just trash. And I have hobbies, and you have hobbies. Nothing wrong with it. I think there's a place for it. And I don't know what your hobbies are. Mine's, I like to, particularly in the fall, I like to hunt. And so I don't know what your hobbies are. And I don't mean to offend you, but it's really just trash. I mean, these things we like to do and spend our time on, and there's a place for it. But as long as we realize this, these aren't valuable. It's really not worth our time. They're just trash. That's what the Bible's, the point it's trying to get across to us, this perspective on these cares of this world. They don't mean much. They really don't. And that's the perspective the Bible keeps trying to get us back to, so that the thorns don't choke us out. You know, when we get to the end of this life, so what? if we had a nice home? So what if our yard looked nicer than the neighbor's? So what if we read a bunch of novels? So what if I watched a lot of movies? You know, all these things that are easy to get distracted by, so what? Who cares? They don't mean anything. They're just trash. As Paul said, I count all things as a loss, and they're just rubbish compared to knowing Christ. So when I read that passage there in Philippians 3 and 8, when I read this passage about the parable of the sower, it's a good reminder that of how valuable Jesus is compared to the things of this world. And it helps me come to the realization that I need to lay aside some of these things, these cares of the world. It motivates me to spend more time with God's people. It motivates me to spend more time in prayer, to spend more time reading God's word, to spend more time doing good works, to spend more time thinking about how can I spread the gospel. Because these other things, they're just rubbish. Seeking Jesus is the most important thing. So don't let the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, keep you from the most precious thing. Spare no expense. Leave no stone unturned. Seek until you find, and when you find it, hang on to it. Hang on to it. Don't let go of it. If you found Christ, stick with it. It's worth it. In closing, I'll read one passage here from Hebrews 12 and 1 that tells us, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep your eye on the prize, that pearl of great price, and don't let anything keep you from it, particularly the cares of this world. If you're here this morning and you have not taken hold of that pearl of great price, if you haven't acknowledged that Jesus is Lord, if you haven't made that commitment that you're going to follow after him, I'll just tell you, it's the most valuable thing. There's nothing that compares to it. And so if you're here this morning and you've come to the realization that Jesus Christ is the Lord and that you need to follow him, we invite you, just like was said in class today, the invitation's always open. Today is as good a day as any day to make that confession. So if you've come to that realization, we invite you to come forward if you'd like to repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins. That invitation is open as we stand and sing the song that's been picked out.